Blog Talk Radio. Preview.
Well, good evening. It is March 28th, 2020, and you have joined another Saturday episode of the Saturday Spotlight with your boy, the one, the only, that's E-R-Y, not R-E-Y, R-O-S-H-E-L-L, Jeffrey Rochelle, and I want to welcome you to the final episode of the Saturday Spotlight for a couple of months. Welcome to the final episode of the Saturday Spotlight for a few months. We take a break. Tonight, we talk to author Onyx. Some of y'all may know her as Onyx. Some of y'all might, like me, might know her as Black Fire. But Chicago's own K.A. Black Fire stops by tonight to chop it up and talk to us on this last episode. It's a bittersweet moment for me. Bittersweet moment for me because this my last episode for a couple of months. I'm taking a break off to get some things in order. I have to finish two books, and also because of the coronavirus and what's going on inside, I definitely decided to take a break for that, you know. So when I come back, hopefully things have went back to normal for us Americans. My books are finished, and I plan on coming back with more good shows, more different authors, and more good topics. But I could have no other way for my last show for a couple of months than to have on author Onyx, a.k.a. Black Fire. If you know Black Fire, you know she comes with the shit. She's going to talk about some shit. She's going to bring it tonight, and I love her spirit. She's just a warm-hearted person, and she's real cool down to earth, and we're going to chop it up for 90 minutes. So kick back. If you want to call in, call in. I encourage that. If you want to call in, just say, hey, I've enjoyed your show since you started last September. You can do that. Or if you want to ask Onyx or me, Blackfire, I should say, too, or me any questions, you can do that. But tonight we're going to chop it up for 90 minutes. As always, let's recap the week. So as you know, this week I started my new job. New job. Started my new job, and I'm excited about it, happy about it. It's around my people, and I said my people, people of color. So I definitely enjoy what I'm doing now, and I have the patience from my supervisor. I love my supervisor. She is so, so cool. And the people that's training me, they're patient, understanding, and it's just like I've been delivered out of the wilderness. It's like God took me up out the wilderness, and I'm happy. So I'm happy where I'm at. I look forward to it being having good days there. I know every day might not be good, but I look forward to having successful days there because this position is a little bit more something I can handle. It's something I enjoy doing, and I love working with the public. So I just pray every day, in spite of the coronavirus, because I work for a clinic, we are still open. So we are still open despite the coronavirus. But I just like, despite the circumstances that we're going on now, I like working with people and interacting with people. So I'm enjoying what I'm doing. So I'm in training for another week coming up, and then they throw me to the wolves, y'all. I'll be on my own doing my own thing with everybody else. So, but I'm really excited about that, really excited about that. So that's it with this week. But let me tell y'all, too, phone users, y'all beware, be careful. Now, I just can't say iPhone users. I got to put the Samsung family in here, too. But this Tuesday when I came home from work, I was sitting at my table eating my dinner, and all of a sudden I saw my iPhone 10. I saw the screen kind of go black and freeze. So I looked at it again, and the screen went out. So I immediately hit the on button on the phone, and the Apple logo popped up like it always does when you turn the phone on, but it went back out, and then it popped back in, and then it went back out, and then it popped back in, and then it went back out. And I was sitting there saying to myself, oh, no. In spite of all that's going on, you would act a fool on me knowing that ain't no Apple stores open. I'm going to have to send this phone in to get it repaired. And ain't no telling how long it's going to take for that to happen and for me to get my phone back. So to make a long story short, that's exactly what I did. I called T-Mobile. T-Mobile troubleshooted the phone, couldn't get it, you know, to work. We even called Apple. The guy had from Apple, the rep was like, well, you know, man, you're going to have to send this phone in because it's a technical problem with the phone, and you can't, you know, it's nothing that we can do it. And, you know, the stores ain't open, so ain't no telling when you're going to get your phone back. And I'm sitting there like, are you freaking kidding me? Like, this is, first of all, a 10, an iPhone 10. It's not a 7, not an 8, and no disrespect to my 7, 8, 9 people or whatever, but this is a 10. You got to be kidding me if this phone wanna start acting up now. And I've done had it almost a year. So to say I got to doing my investigating and came up with a solution, because I was not going to send this phone in. I was not going to send it in. I was not going to send it in, I should say, and have them repair it, because they don't tell them when it's going to call back. So I started doing my investigating, and lo and behold, the jump program for T-Mobile. Yes. I was eligible to jump to another phone. So I called. I said, you know what? I'm having problems with my phone, so I want to jump into the next best version of what's ever after the 10. So needless to say, they sent me an 11. They had it sent out by Friday, and I'm on it right now. Praise the Lord. Everything's back to normal with that, because I was literally going to be in tears. Like, I cannot be without a phone for more than 3 days. I mean, it was pure hell logging onto Facebook to talk to people like I'm a little kid from my laptop, opposed to being on my phone. And they don't have a phone to talk to nobody. So just think about it. If this was my only means, the source of talking, you know, what would it be if with this going on and I had no other options to get a phone? Like, I think with this situation, these phone carriers should have something in place for us for when a crisis like this happens in the world. What if your phone shuts down? What can you do? What can be the solution to that problem? Because I'm sure I'm not the only person that the phone shut down and acted a fool on. Situation, what do y'all do for us, Apple? What do y'all do for us, Samsung? What happen if everybody's phone or some people's phone shut down? You can't go to the Apple store and get it fixed. What is y'all alternative? And one of the alternatives I think should be is that y'all should be able to send us another phone without paying that $99.99 charge. Without paying that $99.99, $100 charge, y'all should send us another phone when the phone break down. And we shouldn't have to send the phone in first. You should send the phone first, then we send the phone to you that we got that's broke. Not you send me, we got to wait to send the phone to you, and then you said no. We need our phone. And I'm the type of person that I need my phone. So I'm going to need you to send me the replacement first, then I'll send you out the broke phone. That's how we need to go about it, you know. And it's just not even just with that. Because of what's going on, I took advantage of delaying my car note because I'm at a hardship. So for 2 months, I don't have to pay my car note. But it should be like that with everything, phone bills, rent, mortgages, everything. We in a crisis now. I don't understand how people still – I mean, I understand you got to pay your bills. But come on now. Some people are not working. Some people are not eligible to get this unemployment right now. Everybody's hurting. So it's like alternatives should be in place for something like this. They're doing it in Italy. No mortgage and no rent payment. So why we can't do it over here in America, you know? And then we waiting on these little stimulus checks. That's going to go because we know our cousin and Rudy and them going to be at Walmart spending them up, buying all the food because they can't go back clothes and shoes. They're going to be at Walmart or either online using that little stimulus check, and that's gonna be gone. So it's like, in a crisis like this, I think all bills should cease and desist for right now. And also, I think the only way that we're gonna get a cap on this coronavirus is if everything and everybody across the world in America shuts down. That's the only way we're gonna get a cap on it. Everything needs to shut down. Not the food places, not the grocery stores, and not gas. Not the grocery stores and not gas. And it was another place, a source that said that I was saying it shouldn't shut down. But I really believe that all these other little stores that's open, they just need to shut stuff down to keep people in the house. And that's the only way they're gonna be able to keep it in the house is if they limit what's still open. Because you still got the liquor stores open and no district. But people hang out at these places. They go and hang out. So it's like, you know, I think that's the only way they're going to be able to get a cap on this, if they shut everything down. Jobs that's still working. If you ain't at the hospital, you don't need to be working. You know, shut it all down, and that's how you're going to get a cap on it, you know. But that's just my opinion, you know. Who's to say what they're going to do? But I just hope when I come back in July or August with these brand new shows that America has went back to normal, because I really kind of believe we're never going to be normal from this. This is going to go down in the history books. This is going to always be remembered. But I'm just hoping that there's a cap is put on it, because staying in the house, you either eating or doing the do. And it's going to be a lot of babies there, you know. So that's all you can do is sit and eat and gain weight or sit up and you know, you do the do. And then it's like, what else is there to do? You know, it's so much you get tired of being around, you know, in the house and being around people that's in the house. Or it's like, what else can you do? You know, so I'm just hoping there's a cap put on it pretty soon and we can go back to normal. Like I said, I know we probably won't never have a normal, but at the same time, I'm hoping that they put a cap on it and we can get some base of being back to normal, because everything going to go to haywire when it does go back. Everybody going to be outside kicking it, blah, 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 just like everything went crazy when we shut down. So I'm just hoping that God willing, we get a solution pretty soon. Another thing that I'm excited about, knock on wood excited about, is that Mama T, as I affectionately call her, Terry McMillan's new book, if y'all ain't heard, and I'm a Terry McMillan fan. I've been a Terry McMillan fan since I was a little kid. But Terry McMillan's new book comes out Tuesday, and I already pre-ordered my copy off Amazon. I'm waiting to get it in my hand when I get home from work on Tuesday evening. But Terry McMillan's new book comes out Tuesday, and I'm praying to God that Mama T does not disappoint me like she did with this last one, I Almost Forgot About You, because after about 100 pages, I put it against the wall. I couldn't do it no more. It's like Mama T kind of lost me with the lady that she was in the book talking about, and it just was like going from one extreme to the next, and that normally wasn't like her with her writing, so it was like, I gave the book 100 pages and I was done with it. But I'm going to go back and give Mama T a second chance, and she got a new one coming out on Tuesday. But I'm just hoping that it don't disappoint like I Almost Forgot About You, because I could not for the life of me get into that damn book. I gave that book 100 pages and then I was done. Like, I can't do it. This ain't the Terry McMillan I know. The Terry McMillan I know from Mama, Disappearing Act, Waiting to Exhale, and How Stella Got Her Groove gave me something to read. This new Terry that wrote this, I Almost Forgot About You, about this woman that was living her life and going back visiting her exes and this and that, and it just was all over the place. And I don't like a book like that. I'm the type of person that, because most of y'all that do know me know I used to read before I became an author, you have to give me a good 50 pages before I say I'm done with your book. If your book is not grabbing my, I'm done. It's going against the wall. And that's one thing that I concentrate when I write too, is that I know a reader wants their attention grab. So whatever I need to do when I'm sitting constructing my manuscript, I have to make sure that this book is going to grab the reader's attention. And I feel like I've done it all for my book, because that's, like I said, the one pride prep I do. I have to make sure that I pride myself in giving readers something that they want to read. But that's another reason why I'm happy to be an indie writer, because when you're not an indie writer, you're under a contract. You have to write the way that publishing company tells you to write. And if you don't write the way the publishing company tells you to write, they tell you take it back and fix it. So I believe that's what's going on with Terry McMillan. And there's a couple of other authors that's like that too. And don't get me wrong, she does have some very good books. And, you know, her books, and her, I should say, original older books were the ones that caught my attention, some of the ones leading up to now. But the last one she wrote, I Almost Forgot About You, I could not get into that. I gave that book 100 pages, and I was done. So, Mama T, I'm asking you, don't disappoint me on Tuesday, because I'm a big supporter. I have all your books on shelf, and I don't want to be disappointed. That's all I'm saying. Love you to death, and I don't want to be disappointed. Now, as always, these places are not open, but this show is sponsored by New Beggar's Pizza, Gary, Indiana. Nikki's on Stone. Layla Sports Bar and Grill in Dalton. Raise the Bar in Markham, Illinois. And Pop Culture Popcorn in Illinois. Hopefully these establishments are back open and running once the quarantine is over. I do know for a fact that they're open far as ordering, but they're not open far as going inside, I believe. So that's why I'm giving it to you guys like that, because some of those places don't have drive-thrus and they're not open like that. So hopefully when this quarantine is over with, I'll be able to go back to giving you guys information about these places, because they have good food, good food, and these people I know personally. And I plan on visiting these places once it gets hot and taking advantage of what they have to offer. So those are the places that are part of the sponsorship for this show. So also, I want to give a shout out to Mama Audrey, who listens every Saturday. I know Mama Audrey's a little disappointed and mad at me because I'm going off the air for a while, but Mama Audrey, I will be back. I will be back, Mama Audrey, in July or August. That's going to come back so quick. And I plan on having better shows, more authors on talking about their books or the topics. So I want to give a shout out to Mama Audrey and my best friend, her daughter Crystal, who has tuned in and listened tonight too. So I'm kind of a little excited and geeked. I got Mama Audrey listening, and I got Crystal that done called in, and she said she don't want to talk, so I'm not going to hit the button on her when we get to talking tonight. No, I'm not going to do that. But as always, love you, Mama Audrey. Love you, Crystal. Keep listening. Keep tuning in. Thank you for supporting me. Now, I see my girl, Blackfire, a.k.a. Author Onyx, in the queue. And without further ado, because I want to get into this whole conversation with her, because I love this girl's spirit. I love this her spirit. It's just she's full of life, and she loves to talk, and I like that. And it's never a dull, boring moment when I watch her lives and things like that. So I'm going to bring in none other than Author Onyx, a.k.a. Blackfire, to the Saturday Spotlight. So if you're listening, called in. Saturday Spotlight, let's welcome Chicago's own, a.k.a. Author Onyx, known to some as Blackfire. Hello, my sister. How are you doing tonight?
Hey, hey. I am wonderful this evening. How are you, love?
I'm doing good, and I'm glad you wanted to be a part of this show, especially the show that I'm going off the air on. I just had to have you do this one.
Well, I appreciate it. I appreciate it.
Yes, yes. So before we get into our conversations and topics, can you tell the people who you are, what type of, you know, books you've written, how long you've been writing, all that good stuff? Just let people know who you are out there.
Okay, well, you know, I'm from Chicago, like you said. My name is Onyx. People call me Onyx the authoress, nicknamed Black or Blackfire according to social media. I've written 5 books. I released my first book 6 years ago. I'm a little different from a lot of writers. I cannot put out books really, really fast. Sometimes that's a good thing, sometimes that's a bad. I have a trilogy called The Mistress Trilogy, and it's all about I write about alpha females, so it's all about a dominatrix and just life and love and triumph and all that good stuff. And then I have 2 standalones, one entitled BFFs and one entitled Careful What You Wish For. Both varying stories. All of my stories, I like to say, are like contemporary romance with some erotica and always with a twist. I like to write about taboo subjects or taboo characters. So that I think that's kind of what makes my stuff a little different from what's out there right now.
And I like that erotica. You hit it on the ball because I dabbled in that. But, yes, you dabbled in that erotica, and I like that freaky, sneaky. Just give me something to read at night, that freaky, sneaky stuff. I like it. I like it. I like it. Yes, yes. So what made you want to dabble in erotica? What made you go that route?
Believe it or not, just a very vivid imagination and just the thought process. I heard my father say a long, long time ago, I don't know, remember who he was talking to, but he made a statement that stuck with me, and he said, there's a fine line between erotica and pornography, and I am a perpetual line crosser, so I kind of like to push myself and say, okay, well, can you write about this, and can you make it hot, but don't make it graphic, you know, can you make it titillating, but don't make it nasty. So I make it that even if I include sex scenes in my books, I don't use certain words. And unless like somebody tells you that, you won't notice it until you hear that, and then you go back and read it like, wait, she didn't use those words. Okay.
Right.
I like the words to paint a picture, you know, in your mind. I like for my readers to be able to feel like they right there. So that's honestly what made me want to dabble in the erotica. I mean, when you write stories about adults and you want to write about life and love, there's going to have to be some sex somewhere. So why not make it hot but make it classy at the same time?
I like that. I like that. Hot but classy at the same time. I like that. I like that. I like that a lot. Yes. So and what I want to say with this is that was one of the reasons I kind of dabbled with erotica with the one book I wrote, because it's like you said, you have to have some sex in the book. But I saw that it was selling, and that's one of the reasons that I wanted to write it, in which I did, I should say, because I saw that it was selling. So do you feel like it's like one of the genres that people like to really go, like readers like to really, you know, cling towards and pick up and read?
It would depend. I think... I think we're a little divided with erotica, because erotica in itself comes packaged in so many different things. Like when I first released my first book, Birth of the Mistress, someone had mentioned to me that in order to be on the erotica charts on Amazon, that you have to have at least 3 sex scenes. Well, I dropped that book in September 2014 with only 1 sex scene, and it was number 2 on the erotica charts. On the African American woman's fiction, and the book that was number 1, so I did not hit number 1, unfortunately, but the book that was number 1 was Zane's Addicted, and that was the same year that she was releasing the movie. So, of course, the book sales went through the roof because everybody who had never heard of the book ran to read it before the movie came out. So for only 1 sex scene, I think I did, you know, pretty well. And, I mean, you know, they always say sex sales. And it does, but you can read urban, you can read interracial, you can read paranormal, suspense, fantasy, sci-fi, no matter what genre you read, anytime you're dealing with men and women or any adults, period, you're always going to have the opportunity for the author to interject something scintillating, you know.
Yeah, and I have to agree with that, because when I did Jessica Watkins' book thingy, I want to say it was 2017. I did that one, and it was a guy and his wife came to my table, and they were looking at my book, and the one guy was like, "Well, what's the freakiest shit that's on this table that you got?" And I said, "This is the freakiest shit right here." And I said, "Okay." He said, "Okay, cool." So he picked up. He's like, "Can you give my wife one and give me one too?" So it was like, "Okay, you know." I'm like, you're drawn towards that erotica. So it, that, like you said, definitely it is what sells. It's really what picks up sales in that area, So you say you got a series too?
Well, I have a trilogy. So my very first book, Birth of the Mistress, to be completely honest, it was supposed to be a one and done. I grew up with a father who read excessively, so that helped me learn to read excessively at a young age. And I used to always tease my dad and say, you know, I'm going to have a book on your shelf. I'm going to have a book on your shelf. So when I wrote Birth of the Mistress, that was all I intended to do, was to write one book. And I like to call it a fictionalized memoir, because 95% of Birth of the Mistress is, no, I say 90% of Birth of the Mistress is my actual life. So I was actually going through therapy, and I was writing my memoir, like, over the course of a 5-year period. I was just jotting down random thoughts. And then it was like, you know what, you could pull this together, you could weave this together into a story of triumph and greatness. And then it's like, yeah, but, you know, they're going to want that high shit. So I had to throw a little bit of that in, so it splashed, you know. And I did it in such a way, because you got to remember, I was very close to my dad. So when I wrote this book, it was like, daddy's going to read this. So I couldn't be, like, dirty, because I didn't want my daddy looking at me like,
Yeah.
You know? So I had intended it for just to be one book. And when the book came out, people were like, okay, well, what else happened with her? What else? And I'm like, and I'm thinking to myself, hell, she me. I guess I'm done. And people was like, nah, well, what else she doing? What's next? And I'm like, are y'all kidding? I got to write another book? Oh, my God. And it was just like, I ended up writing like a totally different story next before I came back and did the second part. But then I guess the way that the second part ended, people was like, okay, we need some more. And I was like, and my books were not, like, critically acclaimed. I didn't hit the Amazon bestsellers list with any of my releases. And I'm trying to think, and I just think it's just because of the content. You know, I'm what they call a little twisted. So I don't like to write about the cookie-cutter stuff, because I feel like a lot of people have already done that. You know, it's like I want to write about what I want to write about or what I would like to read about. And that's kind of what I did, and I got an organic following, and I'm happy for that. Would I have liked to have been number one? Of course. Would I have liked to have made a lot of money? Yeah. Would I have liked to just share, be able to just pop out books? Like, I'd be amazed at some of these authors that are really dope could be put out like a book a month. I'd be like, dang, how do y'all brain work like that?
Yeah.
Because with me, it's almost like, for me, a book is almost like being pregnant, if that makes any sense. Like once the idea comes to me, it'll play out, the whole book from start to finish will play out in my head like a movie. Like I could real deal Holyfield see it, you know. And my biggest problem is getting the movie that's playing inside my brain out through my fingertips. And that's where I run into the problem. Like, I got to get this out of my head. Like, I wish I could just plug a computer into my head, like in the Matrix or something, and just pull it all out, and it just goes right into the computer and prints out, and I'll be a happy camper.
Yes. And I experienced that too. And it's like, that's what's taking me so long to put this fifth one out. That's why I'm taking a break from the show, because it's like I done had this manuscript sitting on this laptop for almost 2 years. It's like, come on, you done went back to school, done finished school. I done got two new jobs, and it's like, okay, you still at page 60-something, and you got 300-some pages to write with this book, and my editor is on my ass. On my ass, like, what's going on? You done told me I was going to have a book 3-4 months ago, and I ain't got nothing. So it's like, I definitely understand that's how I am. It plays out of my mind, too. But it's the fact of getting it typed out on the, you know, computer or whatever, that's the hard part. Like, I'll go sit down. I'll go, you know, do this. It's like I almost have to chili pep myself to get to the laptop and start typing, and, you know, when I got free time. It's crazy. And even with the erotica, too, you know, I'm like this, and I don't know if you like this, sis, but I'm like this. Like, I got to definitely, I'll write a blank scene, but then I got to get to the sexing and the fucking and all that and all that other, you know, good. So I got to get to that, because that's what makes me flow in and flow out. And that's the one book that my mother has not read. It's Friday After Dark, and I'm glad she didn't read the book. And it was a lady at my church, too, was like, give me all 4 of your books. And I'm like, no, I'll give you the 3, but this one right here, you're not getting that one. No, sis, because you're not getting that one, because you're not going to be talking about me like a dog. No. So So you get these three, but this one right here, you're not getting that one. But with the freaky shit, I got to get to that because it's like that's the gist of the book, you know. And I had somebody that reviewed that book and was like, I'm kind of glad that he didn't do all this fucking and all this in the book. I kind of actually did. And I wanted to talk to him like, well, did you really read the book? Because I kind of actually did. Needless to say, I'm like that. I'm like that. I don't know if you like that too, but go ahead.
I'm kind of like you in reverse. Like, I'll come up with a concept. The funniest thing ever is I was telling my mentor, I have a mentor who's also an editor and a literary coach, and she is the bomb diggity. And I talk to her on the phone at least once a week, and she'll tease me and be like, you should be a professional idea generator. And I'm like, is that really a damn job? She was like,
right.
You got 11 books in progress on your computer, where you literally came up with the idea, wrote the prologue. I am great at writing a prologue. Like, I give you the first chapter to blow your mind. And then it'd be like, my characters go on vacation. They'd be like, later for you.
Right.
And they just stop talking to me. But I do that. I'll start with a blank screen, and I'll come up with an idea. Like, somebody will throw out something random. And I will come up, like, I want you right now, like, real talk, bro. I want you, while we talking, it's 8:31. At 8:34, I'm going to ask you to give me a basic story idea. And I guarantee in less than 10 seconds, I'll come up with a whole prompt with characters and something that happened. But as far as writing the book, it'll be like, I started it. So, like, even in my readers group, you will see a lot of snippets. Because it'll be something I'll just be sitting there and something random will pop in my head, and I'll be like, well, what about this, this, and this? And as I come up with that, then I try to figure out how my characters would have sex. So for me, the sex, I have to build up to it. Like, I have to get to know the character. It's almost like, seriously, it's almost like I'm going to juice the character. Okay? Like, I got to build the person up to be, you know, I got to build them up to be like, okay, well, you know, okay, he a hitman and he moved like this and he moved like that. Well, how would he talk to her sexy? You know, he'll be on some slick. And then she going to say this and he going to say that. And then I like to say stuff like, you know, and then, you know, they closed the door and the festivities began. I ain't even got to tell you what's going to happen, but you know they banging.
Right.
I don't necessarily have to tell you. You know, because let's think about it. We all know the birds and the bees. We all got told the story about how that happens. So it's almost like redundant to be like, oh, he kissed her passionately and wrapped his arm around the small of her back and he inserted his manhood. You already know he finna blow her.
No, right.
You ain't necessarily got to tell me that blow for blow.
Right.
Because for me, I want to envision it myself. If you give me too many details, you just messed up my fantasy. That's just like meeting your fantasy person, and they open their mouth, and they say, that's like me meeting a rock, and he opened his mouth and sound like Mike Tyson.
Right.
That's what happened when you give me too many details. You just messed up my fantasy. It's like Jodeci. Don't talk. Just listen.
Right. I love it. Yes. So, interracial characters. Have you ever done it with your roster? Okay, let's talk about that. So, because I was at one point when I wrote my first book, I was told that, you know, if you want to appeal to a broader audience, you know, you should get away from doing your cover. Like, I did it, and I was like, no. I kind of like the way the cover was done. But I did have a Caucasian male in my first book that ended up having a relationship with one of the African-American girls that was the main character in the book, too. But I was told that to appeal to a better audience, I need to put interracial characters in my book. So you've done it, you say. What's your take on that?
I'll be honest, and this might ruffle some feathers, but you know me, I don't be caring. I'm not really a fan overall. As far as the books I've read, I'll be honest, my reading over the years has been pretty marginalized. I read a lot of romance. I read a lot of what they would consider alternative romance. So I read a lot of, you know, LGBT books. I read a lot of BDSM books. You know, I like the alternative, or I read like true crime, stuff like that. Now, since I've been writing, I've been exposed a lot more to the urban genre and the interracial. Interracial as itself is definitely a booming genre. In my very first book, I do have an interracial couple. The mother figure by the name of Diana in my Birth of the Mistress trilogy, she has a lifelong relationship starting when she was 8. Well, she met him when she was 16. The relationship started roughly at about 18, but of course it wasn't a traditional relationship. And at the commencement of the Birth of the Mistress book, Diana is already like well into her late 40s, early 50s. So this is a lifelong partnership. And I'm very vague in alluding to the depth and all the components of their relationship, because anything I put out, I want to research, you know. And I have never dated interracially, as far as dating with the genre being BWWM, which is black woman, white male. I've never dated that dynamic. So I want to, you know, I want to study it. I want to research it because the nuances are different. You know,
yes.
And that's where a lot of people go wrong in writing books. They don't do the proper research. Like, I couldn't go write a piece about slavery if I ain't did no in-depth slavery. If I just take my basic, you know, bachelor's degree level history education, my book will be so historically inaccurate that people will be like, where the hell did you grow up?
Right.
So with, even with the interracial thing, I want to make sure that I nail it. Now, there is a book forthcoming about those characters and like a spinoff.
Okay.
I just haven't gotten to it. And then my main character, by the time you make it to the second book, you're introduced to a white love interest for her. And by the third book, you know, they developed into a relationship. And I did. I had people give me some pushback and say, you know, well, how come she couldn't have dated a black man? And I literally had a heated debate with an older lady, and I'm never disrespectful to my elders, but she was a little concerned that I put this main character who made money and all this stuff, well, why'd you put her with a white man? Why wasn't she with a black man? And I said, to be honest, when I released the first book, the understanding that I was getting as far as the content of the book came 75% from my white audience. When I would do group takeovers and stuff like that on Facebook, when I first dropped this book in 2014, sisters was like biting my head off. You know, why she gotta be, you know, submissive, and why I wouldn't wear a leash now? No man can't put no leash on me. And I had to say, well, wait a minute, y'all, because just a year or two ago, when those gray books came out, y'all ate that stuff up.
Exactly.
And I'm like, my books weren't even that graphic, and they were more relatable. So for me, I put her with the dynamic of, and don't get me wrong, I have a very, very deep and loyal organic African-American following. But I put her with who I felt like people would be more receptive to, simply because the BDSM lifestyle is not, is very present in the African-American community. It's just not talked about or super widely accepted as it is in the Caucasian community. So I put her with what would be more receptive to the readers.
Okay. Understandable. Now, does that book sell a lot? Is that like one of your books that sells a lot?
I'll be honest, and you're going to just crack up at this one. No, none of my books sell a lot.
Really?
And that could be for, as I always say on my videos, a plethora of reasons. part of it could be that I just suck at promoting, although I think I promote pretty well. I mean, we could all, you know, do better at different things. I've been told by some people that I promote the heck out of other people way harder than I promote myself. And that comes with part of just my personality. I go hard for everybody. I'm one of them people. Mm-hmm. I want everybody to get on. And sometimes I have to remember, well, wait a minute now, Onyx. Wait a minute, Black. You putting it, you helping everybody get on. You reaching out all these hands, but don't forget to pull yourself up the wall, too.
Mm-hmm.
But I have something, you know, coming for my readers. I mean, like I said, I got about 11 works in progress that are at least 2 to 3 chapters in. I write in such a way that it's whatever characters that start talking. That's whatever I'm working on at that time. But what I am going to do is repackage and relaunch my books with new content. Was it, you know, not totally new content, but just revamp them, build on them a little bit. You know, my writing style has changed considerably in the 6 years since I started putting books out. So I go back and I read my own books. I read the paperbacks. I read them on Kindle. And I start picking stuff out to myself like, ooh, you could have built on that. Or, you know, you could have took that scene out completely. Or, you know, this could have spent this way. So as we grow and we evolve, the way that we see our own writing changes. So I definitely want to refresh them and revamp them and relaunch them to let my readers know where I am now as a writer, as like a bit of appreciation for them getting me there.
Okay. Got you. And how long have you been writing? When did you first write your first book?
Well, I released the first book in 2014. I had started the book probably around 2008, 2009. Mm-hmm. But I've pretty much been writing since elementary school. Like, okay. My mom still has old compositions and essays from second and third and fourth grade where the teachers are writing in the comments, you know, you should be a writer or great imagination. You'll go far as a journalist. So I've been writing for a while, but I didn't get serious about it until about 2014 when I decided to go ahead and publish the book and see what happened.
Okay. All right. And since then, I know you say that your books were on sale, but what I'm trying to, I guess, get at, too, is if I was a person that was at a book sign or just generally wanted to know about your book, I guess which ones would kind of catch my attention? Like, which ones would be the ones that you people would say, okay, I want to definitely read this one by you? Is there, are all your books like that, or is it just like maybe a couple of them that really, really get a reader's attention? Like, which ones are the ones that really, like, you know, grab out,
believe it
stick
or not,
out?
Believe it or not, I personally think all of them do, to be completely honest. But
okay.
If somebody were to, like, if you were to approach me at, like, a book expo or something and be like, okay, Onyx, I see 5 books up here. Sell me in 15 seconds. I would say, well, first of all, what's your sexual preference? Because, you know, you never want to, you know, offend anybody
right.
with the reading material.
Right.
So if a person
right.
told me, like, say it was a guy saying he needed to get a book for his girl. Okay, all right, you need to pick up a book for your lady. She read a lot. All right, I would recommend Careful What You Wish For. It's a classic tale about a threesome gone wrong, but not in the way that you typically think. I'm like, there's sex, there's lies, there's a female hitman, there's gun runners, all set in the beautiful city of Chicago. So if that's something that you'd be into, that'd definitely be a book for you. If you want to talk about secret lives and, you know, just innuendo and different things like that, I'd say go with BFFs. That's the book that reads more like a movie. And it's a tale about like a love square, 2 best friends run into each other after 25 years and things happen. But now if you want something that's going to sustain you a little bit longer than a single day read or a 2 day read, then I definitely recommend go with the Mistress Trilogy. And it's all about an alpha female and her quest to discover who she really is and why she is that way. Because, you know, all of us like to think that we have a dominant side, but the reality of it is dominants aren't made, they're born. So whichever you prefer, I got something for all your particular tastes. Now which one you want, or you can get all 5, let me go and package that up for you.
I like that. Yes. And you done sold the book.
Yes. That's that shut down, you know.
Right. Yes, ma'am. So, and have you had any situations where you've been like that at a book signing where you've done that and, oh, here you go. Here's my card. Give me all 5 of them or whatever.
Yes, yes. I've actually had people, like, I had one lady tell me, damn, you a slick talker. And I was like, no, it's not that. I said, the funny thing is, I told her the funny thing was, is that I actually loved each one of those books. And
right.
She was like, really? I said, there's actually a little bit of me in each one of my main characters. You know, there's something in there. And the funny thing is the names in my books and the places in my books, if you know me, it all feels familiar. All my books are set in Chicago. So you will hear street names, and if you're off the west side or the south side, you'll be like, oh, my God, I know what that said. You know, I love cars. I love muscle cars. So here and there, I'll drop a car make and model. You know, like I was writing about Teslas before people was up on Teslas, you know, just because I saw
mm-hmm.
one. And it's like, the woman was just looking at me, and she was like, okay, so it's a piece of you. I said in every book. I use the names of my friends and family members. Hell, I killed my wife in one book, complete with her name and everything, and told her. The worst thing you could do is piss a writer off. You made me mad. I'm going to kill you today.
Yes.
And that's
oh, yeah.
what I did. And I killed her. And she liked it because her character got killed after having sex. So she was like, well, I guess I'm good with that. At least I got the bus one before I died. And that's, you know. you know? So with me, but it's like I love all the characters, and I do. I put my son in the book. I put a twist in every single book. Like each book you read, you're going to get to a point and be like, oh, snap, wait a minute. Wait, let me go back a chapter. Oh, my God. That's what I like. That's the moment that I wait for. I don't wait for the frantic page turning, oh, my God, this is so good. Oh, this is delightful. No, I wait for you to get to that precipice and then be like, oh, snap, no, she didn't. It's
right.
not who I thought it was. Oh, my God, that's what I like. I like to see people
yes.
curse at the book. You know, curse at the book. Curse me out. Go ahead.
Right. right. And my friend Crystal Smiles is listening, and I hope she's taking notes because she likes to read this type of stuff. So I hope she's taking notes. Hope you're listening to my sister Black Fire Crystal because she got some good books, and you know you like to read while you got that downtown working at the bus company. So I hope you're taking notes because I'm sure you're going to be in my inbox after the show. What's her name again? Black Fire. Let me spell it for you. She's going to get her book because she loves this type of reading. And that's why I'm glad she listened tonight because she likes this type of reading. Yes.
Well, hey, Miss Crystal. And, you know, you can find me on Amazon. I write under the name Onyx with two X's. And if you like this kind of stuff, definitely I say start with BFFs. That one right there had you like, it had you clutching some pearls that ain't there.
And she just sent me a text message. Oh yes, yes.
Yes.
So, what's coming up for you this year? Besides that, and we're gonna talk about this infamous coronavirus in a second. But anything coming up for you that you know you hoping that when it's all over, you can get to doing, or any events you're gonna be doing? You know, Lord willing, this ends pretty soon. Like, what's up for you this year?
Well, as far as book events, I'm not doing anything this year because I have not formulated whether or not I'm going to drop anything this year. I know my editor, I have like 5 books sitting with her right now. So something may sneak out. I don't like to make any promises because then I feel like I'm under pressure. And that really make my characters be quiet in my head because they like to be defiant. They don't listen. So if I say, mm-hmm. I'm going to get this book out by June, my characters be like, well, we're going to be quiet till May 15th. Nah. So I do have a couple of things that I really, really, really want to get out. There is this 2-book series that I have shelved a couple of times, and I've been working with this other author by the name of Jade Montgomery, and she's up and coming. She hasn't released anything yet. She wanted her first release to be with me, and so we started on a book called Masters, Mayhem, and Murder, and it's more for the contemporary romance, the more mainstream audience, But of course, it has that twist. You know, it has the romance. It's just what the title says: Masters, Mayhem, and Murder. So you got the mayhem and the suspense. You got the murder, and then you got the masters. Like, because you got to have that little kinky side if Onyx name is on it. So I'm trying to get with her and give y'all that 1-2 punch. And this book is actually set in the Hamptons. So it's a little bit of a departure for me. Like, we literally did research on the Hamptons and, you know, houses in the Hamptons and how they look, because you don't want to be describing something in your book and somebody go look it up, or say somebody in the Hamptons decides to read it, say, did he got it on the table at the white party? I don't know. But you don't want somebody to read it and be like, this don't sound like something that's here. So we literally did research on the Hamptons and business locations and different stuff like that, so it could be as genuine and authentic as possible, because being from Chicago, that's what I know. I could write about Chicago because it's in my blood. But the Hamptons, yeah, no, I ain't got that lucky to take my tail up there yet.
Right.
So that's a two-book series. The second book in the series is called Secrets of Savannah, because the main character's name is Savannah. It's called Savannah Michaels. One moment. I'm so sorry, but somebody knocking on my door. Nope. I'm sorry. 1 second.
Okay. No problem. No problem.
Who is it? Oh, Tree Shark. I swear to God, my kids are so stupid. I'm doing a radio show, y'all. Shut up. My son knocks on the door, and I say, who is it? And he says, Tree Shark. Lord have mercy. I'm doing a dang on radio interview, and here they come.
Well, like I said, my show was real laid back. So, you know, any of that going on, I don't care, because I know how we are and I know how family members is. So we real laid back here. Real laid back.
Exactly. We definitely are. And that's how I am. I'm just like real chill. So anybody who knows, they know my big baby is my world with his handsome self. Is this it, Puddin?
Oh.
Charles. Puddin, here. Yeah, he needed it. He drove all the way over here for the piece to his Xbox mic.
Oh, wow.
I swear, but he's a writer, too. And I put him in the book. So he's a rapper, but he's in the book Careful What You Wish For, right? So I have this hitman character, and her name is Deja. Once again, the alpha female, and this girl stole a painting off my wall. No, I told her she can have it. Alpha female, and she's a hitman. And I tell my son, well, her sidekick, her cleaner, needs a name. And anybody who knows me knows that I'm a Tarantino fan. I threw it away, it was molded. Anybody who knows me know I'm a Tarantino fan. So Pulp Fiction was my movie. And so in the movie, Harvey Keitel has this character called the Wolf, and he's the cleaner.
Okay.
Whenever they do a hit or something, he come and clean. So I told my son, well, my female hitman, she needs a cleaner. You know, somebody who come take out all trace evidence of her participation in this hit. And my son was like, oh, I could be the cleaner. I said, yeah. I said, well, give me a name. Now, I'm thinking this boy going to give me a really, really dope, cool name. He was like 20 years old at the time, bro. Guess what this fool said?
What?
He said, the frog.
The frog.
What? I said, wait a minute. You work for the top assassin in the business. You the cleaner, you the next in charge, and that's your name, the frog. And he was like, Mom, nobody suspects the frog, and walked out the room. So that's what I named the character, the frog.
Okay, because he do got a point. Would nobody suspect the frog with that name? But he got a point. I like that. He got a point. Ain't nobody suspecting the frog. Because I wouldn't suspect the frog.
Right, like you looking at this whole bloody crime scene and it's just a dang on frog sitting there. Really?
Right. But yes, I like the fact that you're able to put your family into the books and stuff too. That's dynamic and awesome. Definitely. And it brings life to the character. So.
Yeah. And then it makes people feel like it's relatable. You know, like I don't I don't reach far and wide for my character names, and people ask me, like, how come I don't write more urban? And I tell them, I said, well, it's because if I really, really, really wanted to immerse myself in dope billing and, you know, coochie popping at the club and label name dropping, and I just go call my cousins and them. I don't have to buy a book for that. So for me, I grew up reading Donald Goins, Iceberg Slim. You know, I read the real life. I love that gritty real life stuff, but I also read a lot of post-apocalyptic drama. I read a lot of true crime. I didn't get into erotica until I got older. I was like a real late bloomer. But I read a lot of graphic novels, graphic comics. So for me, it was like I wanted to take all those different elements and wrap them up in a book. Like, I want the grittiness. I want the realness of it all. I don't want my characters to be untouchable, but I want my readers to feel like they going into a different world, like this not they every day. You know what I'm saying? So with my stories, I try to touch on the stuff that a lot of writers shy away from, like, you know, the BDSM. You know, a lot of black authors don't touch on that. A lot of them are touching on it now. Thanks, Onyx. But a lot of them are hitting it now all of a sudden and hitting it harder than the kid over here. But that wasn't happening before. It was like a niche market. So I wanted to talk about the other stuff that went along with it, because a lot of people thought that BDSM was just sex. And I'm like, it's not even sex. Sex is sex. I'm like, BDSM is a lifestyle. You know, it's who you are. You know, it's not something you can fake. People try to fake it, but you can't. And with my characters, I wanted to show a different level of it. And at the same time, like, I've had trans characters. I have a main character that's a dominatrix. I have lesbian characters. I actually had a girl-on-girl rape in one of my books. There's parental abuse. There is psychological abuse. One of my books opens up with a pregnant person, with a pregnant woman committing suicide. And my publisher literally wanted to take that out when I first sent her the manuscript. And she was like, that's just too harsh. I said, okay, and a dude shooting up a club, not? I said, you do realize that you do realize pregnant people commit suicide too. It happens.
Right.
So she was like, okay, we'll leave it in there. Because I was dead set on that. That has to stay in there because that explains, well, it sets the stage for the entire story.
Right.
You know, without that scene, you would have no clue of why the characters were doing what they were doing. So I like to just, you know, switch it up a little bit and make people be like, wait a minute, that's pretty cool, okay.
Yes. And that's what sets aside the book. You know, you can't leave out those good points. I've had many arguments with my editor about that too, so I definitely know what you're saying with that. It's like, why would you take the main important part of my, you know, subject out of the book because you feel like it don't fit? I tell her too, put that back in now. Because you're not taking that out of there. No. Put that back in there. People gonna be looking at me like, well, you wrote this scene, but that's gone. We gonna put that back in now. That needs to make the book fit close. So definitely. Okay. So now let's talk about this infamous coronavirus. I think one of your last lives you was talking about it, I think, about what's going on. Or okay, so I just want to get your thoughts and opinions on what's going on with the world today and this coronavirus. And do you feel like it's going to leave? You know, do we? What's your thoughts on it? I just want to hear your thoughts on it.
Well, I did a couple of lives. If you notice with my lives, I'm all about light and love. And what I was finding, and I very rarely do lives. I do lives about life and relationships and being your best self. I typically stay away from current events, but I was seeing so much misinformation being passed on social media. And the misinformation is what was causing the panic. The misinformation is what was causing people's anxiety to go through the roof and stuff like that. And my personal take on it is, I mean, I have a couple of views on it, at this point in the game, the origins of it are completely irrelevant. The blame game on who could have acted, when they could have acted, and how they should have acted, we're past that point right now. We are in the middle of a pandemic. It is serious. It is real. And it's literally sitting right here at our front door. Do I think we're going to come out of it? Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We are, as Homo sapiens, as human beings, we are the dominant species occupying this earth right now. So we definitely will. We will do it. Us and cockroaches, you know, and alligators. We going to do it. But do I think that there is a lesson to be learned here?
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. You know, I'm all about, I believe in the whole universal energy and metaphysics and all that. I think right now, Mother Earth, the universe, is mad at us. It's mad. All the foolishness,
mm-hmm.
all the tyranny, all the murder, the rape, all the bad stuff. I literally feel like global warming, climate change, these rolling pandemics, because we have a pandemic almost every 10 years. If you chart it, go back, it hits almost every 10 years to the day. So every decade, we have to have this major shakeup. And that's almost like saying every decade, Mother Nature has her period. You know,
right.
Every 10 years, the earth has to regurgitate back onto us all of the ugliness that we have poured out into the universe, because every
mm-hmm.
entity, every essence, and every energy field gets full at some point. So I think
mm-hmm.
right now we're paying the price of everything, all the low vibrational energy we've been putting out there. We're now paying the price for it. I think when you look at it on the level of universal energy and spirituality, I think this is a perfect time for us to rebuild as a species
mm-hmm.
And possibly get it right this time. I don't want to go too deep on that, but I just think that it could mobilize us to be better. But do I think it's going to have that effect? No. I think as soon
mm-hmm.
as this passes, we're going to go back to our greedy little consumerist, you know, self-indulged selves, which is why we'll be right back in the same predicament in another 10 years. But, yeah, it's definitely real that people definitely need to take heed to the precautions and follow the instructions. I think one thing that we're forgetting as a people is we think that our government is supposed to lead us, and we think our government is supposed to protect us. When in all actuality, look at the root word on government. They're supposed to govern us. That's it.
Right.
We really
right.
are, if we think about it as human beings, we really are sheep, and we have to be governed accordingly. Animals
right.
have the same type of hierarchy. If you look at wolf packs, you got the alphas, and then you have the more submissive ones, you know. So when you really think about it, this is just how it works in packs of sharks and dolphins. Every predatory animal out there, and humans are predators, every predatory species has a hierarchy. And because we are so likewise, like, you know, you have male, female, we are pretty much anatomically alike. So we have different shading and different regions and different demographics. And if you think about it, each one of those areas and regions and demographics has another governing party. So we always have to be constantly governed, because if left to our own devices, I think we revert back to our animalistic state and savagery, which then means we're no longer civilized, which then means
right.
we're no longer the superior species. So it's a necessary evil, but people with this virus, they do need to listen. Chicago numbers are growing exponentially, because just like in New York, we didn't want to freaking listen. I'm shocked
nope.
that the numbers haven't gone crazy in other urban epicenters like, metropolitan epicenters like Los Angeles. They've been very proactive. You know, if y'all
mm-hmm.
notice, it's just Chicago and New York where it's like crazy, crazy, crazy. And
yep.
I think we had a 50-degree day earlier in the week.
Mm-hmm.
And the lakefront was literally packed. And people
yep.
out there jogging, riding their bikes and rollerblading, and ain't nobody got no masks on. And
everybody nope. right together, bumping with sweat dripping on each other and just coughing and sneezing. Hi, Joe, how are you? I'm all right. Beth, how you doing? How's the kids? And it's like,
right.
And it's like, don't y'all know we is supposed to be in the house, jog your butt around the block. What the heck are you doing, Tom?
Right.
But we not listening.
Right.
And it's
nope.
spreading, and it's spreading exponentially.
Yep. Yes. Yes. And it pissed Lightfoot out. She was pissed when she did that concert.
Oh, hell yeah.
That press. I was like, I told y'all stay in the house. Y'all not doing that. So, hey, I'm going to close the park. Close it up.
One of my friends said it best. The mayor basically said outside is closed.
Right. I was sitting at the clinic.
Like, you going outside?
That
nope. Did somebody be like, you going outside today, Jeff? Nah, outside closed.
Yeah, outside closed. ain't no outside today. And I was sitting at the clinic at work watching that, and I'm like, oh, she sound a little heated. She's like, I told y'all stay in the house, and don't nobody want to listen. And yeah, but like you said,
that's
50-degree day. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Go ahead.
And I was just saying, that's why I can never go into politics. Because I'd be the one at the press conference just cursing everybody out, like, you beep, 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 don't listen about poop, 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 and I told you sorry, poop, 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 poop. Yeah, they'd have to give me a 5-second delay on every single press conference.
Yeah, but it's like when people not listening, it's like, come on now. And it's like, I kind of figured it. When I had heard that we was going to have that day, I said, now watch. Watch everybody go outside and be doing what they're not supposed to be doing, like this virus done went away, knowing it ain't, and everybody going to be outside kicking it. And sure enough, when they showed the picture, like you said, the lakefront, everybody just jogging, running around. I'm like, y'all know this virus is going on. What the hell are y'all doing? Like, it's crazy. And then at my job, too, when they come to the clinic, they be sneezing and coughing. And to the point that when we be something like, y'all got to go. Like, we can't have y'all in here sneezing and coughing. And I work in the hood. So, you know, in the hood, they're going to give it back to you back like you're giving it to them. So it's like, why the fuck I got to go and blah, blah, blah. Because telling you, you know, stay at home, don't come in here if you got these symptoms. You know, there's nothing that the provider can do for you right now. And that's what we be telling
right.
them. They still come in there coughing and sneezing and getting the attitude. And I'm like, we told you when we called you yesterday, if you sneezing and coughing, don't come in for your appointment. Stay at home. Opposite. Out. Ain't got no mask on. No gloves on. And sneezing and coughing. And it's like, we are really hard-headed. We don't never listen. Never listen. And it's just like,
yeah.
How are we going to get rid of it if we're not going to, you know, cooperate and do what we need to do? You know? Because I'm for one myself. I'm tired of sitting in the house. I need to be out.
Yeah.
I ain't had no lining. I can't go to the barbershop. Like, I can't do the bare necessities. Like, I'm tired, sis. I'm like, I'm ready to go back out there, get lined up, go back. But we ain't going to be able to do it if we got everybody else out here that don't want to participate and do their part. So it's crazy. It's crazy.
It is definitely crazy. But you know what's funny to me is I started a relationship series on my live videos today. And it was funny because I wanted to touch on relationships because this virus got folks cooped up in the house together who ain't used to being cooped up in the house together.
Right.
So now
that
you got
too.
All these couples that they either doing, they doing one or two F's. They fighting or they fucking.
Yep.
You know, and it's like, you either going to have a bunch of babies or a bunch of domestics. It's like, what y'all going to do? And this is really a testament for some people to really look at how they choose their mates. Oh, you chose that
right.
dude because, you know, he got it down to his knees and he blowing your back out. But he ain't that pleasant to be around all day, every day. Or you got this chick and, you know, you want her on your arm because she look like an Instagram model. But you realize she don't look like that when she wake up or when she go to bed. And on some days, she don't look like that on the hours in between those two things. So, who you really with,
right.
bro? So you got people who really discovering and reevaluating what's really popping in their life because of this virus.
Yep. And it's the mother. And like I said, like you said, too, it's going to be a bunch of kids. Like, after this is going to be over, it's going to be people populated, pregnant. Pregnancy rate going to go up, definitely. Or you got people in the house that ain't getting along. And me, myself, just to be a little personal with it on to say, I can't go see none of my freak buddies because I've been in the house because I don't know if they got coronavirus or not. So I've been putting them off because I've been like, I can't come see you because I don't know if you're going to be bringing the coronavirus to where I'm at, or I'm not trying to come there get no coronavirus from you. So I've been a little stressed out like a character in one of our books because I can't go get in because it is coronavirus. So it's got to end soon. It's got to end soon because I can't take it no more. I can't. I was sitting there talking to one of my friends today about it, like, damn, I can't go outside and do shit. I got to be in the house, in the crib.
I feel you. I feel you. See, yeah. We didn't do the smart thing. We didn't get us a quarantine booth. Because, see, I knew.
Right.
Somebody said, because I'm single, somebody was like, are you not going to get you no quarantine booth? I said, hell no, because by day two,
right.
I'm not going to have no need for her. So, no.
Exactly.
Because
exactly.
What am I supposed to do for them other 12 days? What, just look at her? Like, damn, you still
right.
here? Oh, yeah, it's
right.
a quarantine. Yeah.
Right.
You know, so I'm just going to tough it out. I'm just going to tough it out.
Right. Shit. Oh,
wait, we've been talking so hard. Wait, it's 9:10. You got, okay, so what's the prompt? I was supposed to ask you 20 minutes ago. Give me an idea.
Yeah, you said give your idea for a story.
Right.
And you're going to run away with it and give me a whole, what was it, a prologue?
I'm going to give you a character breakdown. I'm going to give you a prologue. I'm going to give you a snippet.
Okay.
It's not going to be perfectly narrated
because
it's a freestyle, but I'll give you an overall idea.
Well, I'm going to try my best to give you a good one.
Okay.
Let me see. Okay. My title would be 16 Days in Quarantine.
Okay. Okay. Your characters, give me two characters, male, female, male, male, female, female, what?
A little bit. Okay, so we get a male, a female, male and a male, and a female and a female. So we got 1, 2, 3, 4, 6 characters.
Okay.
Is that 6 characters? Once?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So
and they all and they couples.
And they all, I was just about to say, is they couples. Okay. So 16 days in quarantine is technically the tale of 6 friends, 6 roommates. They've been friends and roommates and best buds since college, you know, and each couple has their own set of problems and their own demographics. So without giving any names, your male, female couple, all these people are in their mid to upper 30s, okay, college educated, upwardly affluent African Americans. So your male, female couple, you know, they want to be on their own. They want to do home ownership. They want to have children, build a family, and get married. But finances just won't let them, which is what led them to this roommate situation. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Your male-male couple, no children, expendable income, wild and free, love to party, actually in the middle of an open relationship. So they're pretty much, they can flow either way they want to go. Your female-female couple... Your female-female couple, long-standing lesbian couple, pillars in the community, activists in the community. They actually own the brownstone that they've converted into one big old unit on Chicago's south side in the Bronzeville area. So
okay. They
all came together at one point and decided that they wanted to live together. So now you got 6 people living in one house. It's always going to be an interesting dynamic. So you got 3 women, 3 men. Now, the man in the heterosexual couple, he's hiding a deep, dark secret. He's actually in love with one of his gay best friends and does not know how to tell them. The one that he's in love with, he fell for way back in college, but he never wanted to say anything because he comes from a religious family. So he felt like he needed to get married to his high school sweetheart, have children, and this is one of the reasons why they have not had children, because he's afraid to bring kids into the world, not, you know, not really being secure in his own sexuality. Now, his fiance, girlfriend, whatever you want to call her, she suspects that there's something that he's holding back. The sex life is fulfilling, but she just feels like there's something funny about the way he looks at their friend. Now, they all vacation together. They cohabitate together. They all work in some of the same fields. Your female-female couple is very secure, very in love, but in their activist duties have lost sight of one another. They're so passionate about the lesbian movement that they've forgotten to be passionate about one another. So they're hitting that risky 7 to 8 year area in which lesbians call the period of lesbian bed death. And one of them falls for really hard her therapist. And who better to fall for than really the keeper of your secrets? You trust them with your innermost thoughts, your innermost feelings. You're your most vulnerable with them. And when you're not feeling affirmed, who builds you up and validates you? Your therapist. So now she's fallen down this rabbit hole and started this relationship. So everybody in the house is in some level of turmoil. Your male-male couple, well, one of them really is cheating. And his guy can't say anything because he's really with him for the financial fortitude of it all. But his guy, the one that's in it for the money, is also aware of the fact that his straight college friend is in love with him. And he definitely wants to expound upon that. But he's resentful of the fact that he is going to marry his high school sweetheart. So there's your whole story in less than 4 minutes.
Yes, and I like that. And I should have told you write that down so we collaborate on a book. There you go. But I like that. That was very creative. Very creative. You did that in less than, what, 1 minute?
There's 2 minutes. But that's how stories pop in my head. Like, you can tell me an idea. Like, I was talking to my mentor, Tam, one day, and shout out Tam Jernigan. I love my boo. And she told me, she said, well, I'm going to challenge you. I said, okay, I'm up for it. And this is a Sunday morning. We on the phone sipping tea. And she was just like, so you got a lady. She a first lady of a church. I said, okay. She said, but she got a secret. I said, okay. She was like, oh, that's all I'm giving you. I was like, oh. So I said, well, let me call you back. I called her back in 15 minutes. And I told her, okay, I'm telling you, I'm going to call this story either heavenly bodies or angels and demons. She was like, okay, what it's about? I said, you got your lady, the first lady of a mega church based out of Chicago. So we're talking about financially set, affluent. Her husband is the founder and the pastor. She built him up. He's a constant philanderer. He is screwing everything in the skirt in the church. And yet she stand by his side because she likes the money, the affluence, and the status of being the first lady. I said, well, you said she got to have a secret. Well, here's her secret. She then went through the church and plucked out all the little heifers that her husband was sleeping with and recruited them all to work for her high-level, elite-level clientele escort service. So she's the first lady of the church, and she's also the first lady of an escort service. So I guess the tagline for the story would be either the pulpit or pussy. Either way, I'm getting paid.
Right. I like that. Yeah.
And that's actually a book that she's making me write. She's making me write that. I wrote a prologue for it in like 15 minutes. It's in my readers group. You got to check it out. I got to add you to the group.
Definitely got to
check it out.
Definitely. Okay, sis, well, before we get out of here, we got a few more minutes. Just tell the people, and definitely my friend Crystal and her mama Audrey, where they can get at you on Facebook or social media so they can get these good books.
Okay, well, on Facebook, you can find me at Black Fire, which is spelled phonetically BLAQ PHIRE, because you know I got to be difficult. Or I have a fan page, Onyx the Authoress. So I have a website, onyxtheauthoress.com, and that's Onyx with two X's, O-N-Y-X-X, and that's Authoress with two S's. I am on Instagram under Onyx the Authoress. I am on Twitter under, I got like three Twitter pages, but there's one for Onyx the Authoress. You can find me on Amazon. Just look up Onyx, O-N-Y-X-X, and everything will be right there. Like if you type that in and go to my author page, all 5 books are there. They're available in Kindle format and paperback. And, yeah, I'm just all over Facebook all day, every day. So you can find me anywhere.
Yes. Well, thank you, sis, for coming on tonight. I really enjoyed you in this almost what has been half an hour and a half that we done talked
yes.
on this. I'm glad you did my last show because I knew it was going to have this type of energy with you being on it. So, like I said, I had to have you do my last show.
Well, I am so glad. I'm so glad you wanted me.
Yes. And I definitely got to get you back on when I'm up and running again. I want to say, like I said, I may be coming back in the end of July, August. But sometime even after that, once I'm running back up again, you got to come back on again.
Indeed. I sure will, of course.
Yes, and definitely add me to that readers group, too. If I don't, I'm going to get at you once the show's over with. But definitely add me to that readers group, too, because I want to be a part of that.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I'm going to add you as soon as we get off the line, definitely, because there's a lot of snippets in there. And tell Crystal to when I add you, then you can add her, because there's lots of snippets in the group, lots of, you know, character visualizations, lots of sneak peeks. And sometimes I just write little short stories that I know I'm not going to go anywhere with, and I'll just put them in the group mm-hmm. instead of putting them on my Facebook page.
Okay, cool. Well, sis, like I said, definitely thank you for coming on tonight. I have enjoyed you. You be safe. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. And any parting words you want to say before we leave here?
As I always tell everybody, you know, we need more positivity. Positivity needs to go viral. You know what I'm saying? Be sweet to your fellow man. Be even better to yourself. Don't forget to wash your dang on hands and wash them with soap. Don't just put sanitizer on them. Wash them with soap.
Right.
And for you, bro, I appreciate you a million times over for having me on the show, even though I don't have any new releases out. I appreciate your hospitality, and you make sure if you get any of your little freak buddies to come by that you spray them down with Lysol at the door first, you know.
Right.
Got to make sure we do that.
Definitely. All right, sis, well, I'm going to check you out after the show, and like I said, you have a good rest of the weekend, and we'll talk soon.
All right, sweetie. Thank you for having
All
me.
All right. No problem. You take care.
All right,
care.
All right.
All right. So there you have it. Tonight we talk to author Onyx, a.k.a. Black Fire. What the show we have for the last show that's going to run up until July or August. Like I said, I'll be back in either the end of July and August. And hopefully at that time we are back to normal. Things are back to the way American life was. As Onyx stated, and I have to agree with her, you know, reflect on this time. If you're at home, you know, take the time out, check on your loved ones, you know, check on those that may need something, and stop hogging all the stuff at the Walmart, at the stores. Let some of these older, elderly people get some stuff, too. It was a picture that somebody posted. I'm going to be really brief before my time runs out, of an older lady who broke down and cried. When she finally got a chance to get to the store, she couldn't get anything because everything was grown. I mean, I understand we're in a crisis, y'all, but y'all don't need 6 and 7 and 8, 9, 10, 24-pack rolls of tissue. What is it with toilet tissue? And now that I went to understand with the hand sanitizer, but y'all don't need 8, 9, 10 bottles of hand sanitizer. Get you 2-3 at the most and wash your hands before putting on the sanitizer. Don't just put sanitizer on and not wash your hands. And wash your hands in hot, soapy water, because this too shall pass. And this too shall be a lesson, a vital lesson, because when this is all said and done, we're going to go back to how the way things were. But what did this lesson teach you in the process of us being locked down on quarantine? Not just the fact that you locked down on punishment like you were a kid, but what did it teach you? What did you value from it? What did you learn? You know, how safe were you? Because you got these cases of people catching the virus, and it's a couple of my choir members that I sing in the choir with at my church that have caught the virus. And it's like, what did it teach you on being safe and being, you know, keeping yourself out of harm's way? What did it teach you? Did you lean on the everlasting arms of Jesus? You know, were you taking the proper precautions? But as I stated, we don't need all that sanitizer. We don't need all that bleach. if you know some older elderly people that need help, help them out, or stop taking up everything. You know, we got to be, you know, we got to help each other out because we all in this together and we're going to get out of this together. And that's the only way we're going to come out. Stay in the house. Stay in the house. Again, I say, stay your monkey ass in the house. If they asking you to stay in the house, stay in the house so this can be over and done with and we can go back to normal life. Because as long as we out there kicking it and doing what we're not supposed to be doing, we're not going to go back to normal life. So if you don't got to go out, stay in the house. If you sick, stay in the house. Just stay your ass in the house if you don't have to go out. Plain and simple. I have enjoyed you all. Like I said, I started this last September, and I've enjoyed doing this up until this time. But now it's time for me to focus on myself, my book, my new job, getting this weight down because I've been eating a lot and been gaining a lot of weight. So I got to get this weight down, and I want to come back with a bang when I come back for you all. I want to have definitely my fifth book knocked out, getting ready to knock my sixth out, and coming back with more hot new shows, you know, more different topics, more different authors. Mama Audrey, thank you for always supporting me and being there from day one. Crystal, thank you, too, for listening tonight. Definitely. I'm glad that I got you guys in my support system, in my corner, whether it's getting a book or whether it's just being online and just listening. Mama Audrey, I thank you, and I promise you I will be back again with more shows after this because I know you, this was like a faithful thing for you every weekend. So I know you're going to miss it, but trust and believe when I come back, I'm coming back with a bang, definitely. Crystal, thank you for listening tonight, and thank you for always supporting everything that I do, you and Mama Audrey. I love y'all to death. Thank y'all so much. And just everybody that just has supported me and gave me well wishes for doing this show, I'm coming back with a bang. You know, everything has to go for a little hiatus for a minute, but I'm coming back with a bang. I'm coming back refreshed. So I'm definitely looking forward to coming back with this show. I, you know, was kind of skeptical. I stepped out on faith, but look at me now. Almost a year in, I'm doing it, and I've had fun doing this every Saturday night, so I'm going to miss it, but hey, I'm coming back with a bang. So as always, as I say, what you do for Christ is the only thing that will last. I will see y'all in a few months. Stay safe. Wash your hands. Stay your ass in the house. Sanitize. And trust and believe the Saturday Spotlight will be back pretty soon. I'm out. Peace. And I'll talk to you later on.